Welcome back to Coast with Dr. Joanne Conaway from criticalhealthnews.com. And we're going to take your calls this hour. They're lining up like crazy for you, Doc. So we'll be back in a moment. Oh, by the way, the phone number, if you don't get in, there's some people there to help you. Keep trying, 1-855-949-7234. Welcome back with Dr. Joanne Conaway. Joanne, what got you into this field? How did that start for you?
You know, it's interesting. People ask me that a lot. And I have to go back to when I was a nurse. Back in the late 1970s, early 80s, I was taking care of people who could no longer eat by mouth. And it was during that time that we learned of the horrible manifestations of nutritional deficiencies, vitamins and minerals and things that we talk about all the time on this show. So when I first heard Dr. Wallach cassette tape, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, and that's been quite a few years ago now. I've been with Dr. Wallach since January of 1999, but when I first heard that cassette tape about a year before that, everything he said made sense to me because I had seen the manifestations of nutritional deficiencies in the clinical setting. I had taken care of people who could no longer eat by mouth, and so I knew about those deficiencies of minerals and trace minerals. So that's how I got started with this. I immediately got on board with Dr. Wallach and been working with him ever since. I absolutely love the products. I absolutely love what I've been able to do to help people. And, you know, it gave me a lot of opportunity when I was writing my book. A lot of research actually kept coming back to so many of the things that Dr. Wallach has taught us in terms of the healthy nutrition that the body needs. So I've been with him. I absolutely love working with him. I absolutely love what the products do. And I love being able to help people the way I do.
All right, let's go to the phones now. Regina is truck driving in Illinois on the Wildcard Line. Regina, you're up with us. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes, my husband and I, well, we drive a truck, and we're wondering what you recommend as far as, like, a diet nutrition for us while we're out here.
Good question. Because they're on the road a lot, Doc. Go ahead.
That is a good question. It is a great question, and I applaud you for doing that. I think, you know, I've talked to my husband about doing the same thing, but that's neither here nor there. When I talk to people in your situation about diet and about a way to approach diet, my favorite way is the ketogenic approach. The ketogenic approach is a little bit different for people. We have, again, for so many years been told low fat, no fat. And the ketogenic approach to weight loss actually tells you to increase the consumption of fat. Now, these are healthy fats I'm talking about. So this particular program is high fat, moderate protein, and low carbohydrate. And the reason why I think it works well in a situation like yours is because by doing that, by getting the carbohydrates out of your diet, severely limiting those carbohydrates, what that does is it forces your body to start to burn fat for energy. And so many people who have a lifestyle like yours where you are long time sitting down, not moving around, not physically active, they find that this ketogenic approach is a great way to go. And we have products in the line that actually help to support that ketogenic approach. We have a great tasting shake, absolutely great tasting shake that actually can be mixed with heavy cream to increase the fat content. Once again, this kind of goes against the grain, if you will, for many, many people, because for so many years we've been told, oh, you shouldn't do that. But what we know and what research has shown us is the reason why we are so fat, the reason why we have such diabetes and obesity in this country, is because we subscribed to that theory and decided that eating carbs was fine and started to eat carbs in large amounts. The carbohydrate load on the body has been very detrimental over the course of the last 50 years. So going with a ketogenic approach is going to allow someone like yourself to be able to burn some fat while you're sitting doing your job, burning that fat because that is going to be now the source for energy.
And, you know, when they came out with use margarine, and now it's almost like it's the worst thing ever.
Well, it is one of the worst things ever. And when we talk about margarine, it is about a molecule away from plastic. which is the first thing that people need to realize. The other thing that people need to realize is it is not an all-natural food. I know when I used to do my radio show, I used to say all the time, if God made it, it's good. If man made it, it's questionable at best. When we talk about something that is literally produced in a laboratory, we are not getting whole natural food. When we talk about butter, in many cases, we have to be careful because if the cows are fed hormones and antibiotics and so forth, that butter is probably not the best for you. But comparing butter to margarine, if you think that there is a difference or you don't think there is a difference, you need to take a stick of butter and a stick of margarine and set it outside so the animals can get to it. The fascinating thing doing that is the animals will go for the butter and leave the margarine
smart.
Alone.
Smart.
They know it's not food. Yeah.
How do they get so smart?
Well, you know what?
Nature
does
that. We
were actually created to be smart.
We go to Barry now in Rock Hill, South Carolina. And there you are, Barry.
Hello, George, old buddy, old pal, old friend of mine.
Hello, Barry, my dear friend and my good buddy.
Yeah, and be sure to say hello to Cornelius for me. I know he'll be calling
in later
with his Bible bullets and beans.
He'll be right behind you, I'm sure.
Listen, I was just talking with Tommy. And I take some supplements. A carnivore is one of them, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
And I take a vitamin D3, and I take turmeric. And I'm wondering why turmeric and D3 are not already in carnivora.
Well, Joanne can't talk about carnivora, but one day when I talk to Richard Ostro, the owner inventor, I'll ask him that. But carnivora apparently stands on its own with its own immune builders. But I'll ask him that for you.
One other thing now, right quick, and I'm not going to bug you anymore, but
that's
you're
right.
Back in L.A., and I want my picture autographed from my 8x10 so I can put it right beside mine with me and Tommy Danheiser.
Well, you know who you have to ask for that, Mr. D.
I want your picture.
Well, I know, but he's the keeper of my pictures.
Oh, okay. Well, he's listening right now or put me back on the phone with him.
Well, he's answering calls, so you'll have to call him back a little later when he's not on the air, Barry. Probably call him about 4 or 5 in the morning, if you would. Something like that. Something to be popular, huh, Joanne?
I'm sorry?
I said it's something to be popular, huh?
Oh, it certainly is.
Helen's in New York. Now you're on the air with us, Helen. Go ahead.
Yes, at some point with knee problems, is there some point where the nutritional supplements are not going to work anymore? And how do you recognize that? Currently, I take the Peach Fusion, the Sweeties, Adrenal Health. I take a lot of chondroitin, glucosamine, all of those other knee products, type 2, BioCell collagen, EHA injections to the knees, braces. And I'm really reaching my wit's end.
Are you seeing no improvement?
Very little.
All right. Take it away, Doc.
Okay, so let's talk about that. One thing you did not mention is calcium and magnesium. Are you taking that?
Yes, I do. Yes,
okay.
I do.
Okay.
Calcium, magnesium, boron, all of those.
Okay, so what we find is people who are not seeing the benefit of these products, it's probably because either A, they're not taking enough of the product, or B, they're not absorbing. In the case of not absorbing, we find that that's the case for a lot of people, and it's mostly because they consume the standard American diet, or SAD diet, as we refer to it, for many, many years. And that has literally destroyed the inside lining of the digestive system. When that happens, and you don't have a good, healthy lining, you don't absorb the products as well as you should. So get a hold of them at Critical Health News or send me an email. You can go out to drjconaway.com and send me an email. And I can send you a copy of a program that I recommend for people that actually helps to restore good digestive system health. Once we get that digestive system repaired, what we find is people start to absorb the products much better. So I'm happy to share that with you, and it's a simple 20-day program. We flood the system with good probiotics, digestive enzymes, a product that actually helps to eliminate some of the bad bacteria. And what we do is we reestablish that good, healthy gut balance, that balance of good bacteria versus the unhealthy bacteria. And that's going to help to repair the inside lining of the digestive system and make your body better able to absorb those products that you're taking. And I think then you'll see a big difference. The other question that I have to ask is, do you have a gallbladder, or has your gallbladder
She's gone now.
Okay. In the case of a gallbladder removal, one of the things that we know, George, is when people have their gallbladders removed, they don't have enough bile to process fat and essential fatty acids properly. So sometimes they won't, especially in a situation of joint discomfort, they won't see as much of a benefit because they're not able to absorb those essential fatty acids. We add to their program the digestive enzyme product that's Ultimate Enzymes that has ox bile in it. That particular product will actually take the place of the gallbladder. We call it gallbladder in a bottle. And it will help the body to be able to break down and absorb those essential fatty acids better. All of those things will contribute to improvement.
Well, with Dr. Joanne Conaway, criticalhealthnews.com, let us go next to Sally in North Dakota. Hello, Sally. Thanks for calling.
Hi, George. It's so nice to hear you. I just love your show, and I've been listening for 12 years.
Well, thank you. Since the beginning, almost.
Exactly. Yes. And the Joanne would just be helpful to me if I could ask her a couple of questions.
Sure, she's there waiting for you.
Okay, well, two things. Acid reflux and GERD, and that's why my voice is so hoarse. Oh, my goodness, I've been suffering so much for so long. In the last couple of nights, I mean, I just couldn't even lie down in bed because it all just came coming up, and I'm on omeprazole 60 mil, but that's not even helping.
What's the symptoms
one of the
for that?
That we know is that particular medication will not help. It may eliminate some of the symptoms for a short period of time. The important thing to understand about GERD or acid indigestion is it has a lot to do with that sphincter muscle that's at the end of the esophagus, the beginning of the stomach. It's a muscle, and it's supposed to clamp down tightly and keep all of that acid down in the stomach where it belongs. When you start having issues where you're having the indigestion and you're having the GERD, it's happening for a couple of different reasons. The way we approach that is we make sure that people understand because that is a muscle, we need to treat it like a muscle, and therefore calcium and magnesium are very important to make sure that that muscle is working. The other thing to know, though, is if you are taking one of those medications, anything that's either a drug to neutralize the acid or a drug to limit the production of the acid, your body cannot break down the foods and supplements to give it the calcium and magnesium that it needs. Many people are nutritionally deficient just because they take some type of an antacid medication. So the important thing to remember is we need to work to try to eliminate that antacid medication. And the way we do that is we do that using the healthy diet, staying away from the bad foods, of course, salting your food to taste. People say, oh, well, I don't think I should use salt. It'll cause high blood pressure. That's a myth. We know that that's not true. And salting your food to taste will help your body to produce the hydrochloric acid that it needs to break down those foods properly. But what we also tell people is taking good calcium magnesium supplements and using those digestive enzymes when you consume a meal, both of those things will go a long way toward helping with that issue. And what I tell people is make sure you've got some of that Beyond OsteoFX on hand. And if you have a situation like you had last night where you had such a difficult time, take some of that Beyond OsteoFX. It's going to help to coat the esophagus, and it has that calcium and magnesium that are going to help to support the function of that muscle. So, unfortunately, many people have that issue and have that problem. It has so much to do with diet. It has so much to do with the things that we consume, soft drinks and things like that. And that's where many people get into trouble. So they start taking these medications to stop the symptoms, and unfortunately, they're making themselves even worse. So that's where I would start. I would start with the 90 nutrients. I'd make sure that I had enzymes to take with my meals, and I would make sure that I have ample amounts of that calcium on hand so that if you have an episode for the first several days, if you have an episode, you take a dose of that calcium and magnesium product along with some enzymes and see if that doesn't correct it. It's happened for many, many people, myself included. I used to have gastroesophageal reflux disease, and I increased my calcium intake, and I started taking those enzymes, and I don't have the issue anymore.
That's remarkable. Text message in. Tom's got it for you. What do we have, Tom?
Hey, Joanne, we have a text from Tim in Las Vegas. Is water okay if you drink it cold with ice cubes? What's the difference? Is it bad for you?
Actually, ice water, drinking cold water, is not the healthiest approach. You should drink water that is minimally chilled or room temperature water. There is a difference, and the impact that it has on the digestive system is not a healthy impact. So I always recommend for people to stay away from ice water. Now, I know that's a challenge for many people. They've drank ice water all their lives, and especially when you live in a situation like where it gets hot in Las Vegas.
Right.
People want something really cold and want something iced. Ice water impacts the digestive system.
Doesn't it shock the system, Joanne?
And it does shock the system. You're absolutely right. So it's better to take a minimally chilled water or room temperature water.
I always heard the Chinese always drank their water at room temperature.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, Doc Wallach's wife is that way. She preaches that all the time. No, no, no. No ice.
Big difference. Big difference as well. Criticalhealthnews.com, that's the website. The toll-free number is 1-855-949-7234. Dr. Joanne Conaway joins us about once every 2 months as we talk about health-related issues. We're going to come back in a moment on Coast to Coast and take final phone calls. And they keep calling, they keep lining up, and they all want information. I would guess, Joanne, that in your career, talking to people about health-related issues and everything else, most people simply want to start feeling better, don't they?
That is usually the bottom line, George. You're absolutely right. I just want to start feeling better.
They don't want to wake up in the morning and have that sluggish feeling. They want to have that pep and energy and get ready to go. And you know what? They're entitled to that, to be sure. So we're going to come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We'll send out information to you every day about the show and events that are happening as well. We shall be back. Don't touch your dial. And welcome back to Coast, our final segment here with Dr. Joanne Conaway, criticalhealthnews.com. Do you speak a lot, Joanne?
I do, actually, George, and I really enjoy it. And if I could just take a minute and go back, that last caller, you know, the sad part with acid reflux and gastroesophageal reflux disease is people just really don't understand and don't know what causes it. I go into a lot of detail in my book around that particular process in the body and what causes it. People are suffering. They're suffering because of the foods they're eating, because of the soft drinks they're consuming, and because of the fact that they are so nutritionally deficient to start with because of eating all of that garbage in the diet. And then they start to have issues not being able to keep that acid down in the stomach where it belongs. They start taking these medications, and it just further contributes to so many issues and deficiencies in the body. If you don't have enough acid in your stomach, you cannot break down proteins, you cannot assimilate calcium, the B vitamins, many of the trace minerals that your body needs. So even if you're eating good, healthy foods, you're not getting the benefit of any of the nutrition in those foods if you're taking some type of an antacid medication or if you're drinking soft drinks. soft drinks will neutralize the acid in much the same way. So it's a common problem. It's a common problem a lot of the time because people consume so many soft drinks, number one, and because people are afraid to salt their food.
Is it a disease? You've called it that.
Well, a disease, I would say probably not so much a disease as a literal mechanical issue. It's a mechanical issue because that muscle doesn't clamp down and keep that acid down in the stomach. And the reason it's not doing that is because of deficiency of calcium and magnesium and the breaking down of the body as a result of those deficiencies.
Okay, let's go to John in Sacramento, California, west of the Rockies. John, take it away.
Hi, John. Listen, I'm an 81-year-old man. I'm in excellent health. My blood work comes out perfect every year because of a mother that treated me right and a wife did the same thing. And now I have a son that makes me smoothies out of vegetables, fruits, and taking excellent care of me. But I have a problem. I'm working with a married couple, and they're both on methadone. The wife is pregnant with a fetus 2 months old. And I would like everything to know how I can help them get off methadone. And do you have anything to say about how critical that is?
Okay, his phone is very low, but apparently he's working for some people and they're on methadone. Gosh, what do you do about that?
Well, it would be interesting to know exactly why they're on methadone. There are various different reasons methadone is used, but if it's any type of an addictive problem, oftentimes that will come as a result of nutritional deficiencies. And we do have programs where we help people. I've helped people a lot with different types of addiction, smoking addiction, drinking addiction, hard drug addiction. And what we do is we make sure that they're getting those 90 nutrients that we know are so important, because that's part of what drives that behavior. It's a lack of something, wanting something, needing something that will drive that behavior. But a couple of different things that have helped with most situations, extra minerals. We have a standalone mineral product. Taking extra minerals throughout the day, and if you have a desire for any addictive substance, then taking the black pepper essential oil, actually just opening the bottle and taking a strong whiff of that black pepper.
That'll help you.
Oil, it will sometimes stop that craving immediately.
Now, methadone, of course, is used primarily for withdrawal symptoms for people addicted to heroin and other narcotic drugs. So I would assume with that family, something is happening there, huh?
That would be my guess.
And ironic that they're both on it, and apparently the woman is pregnant. That's not a good situation. Can you get addicted to methadone?
Well, some people say that they can. Some people say that they have gotten addicted to it. But, yes, you're absolutely right. That comment about being pregnant, that not being good.
That's not good.
That is a hard thing because that baby is going to be born and, unfortunately, may well be born addicted.
Addicted themselves.
And
that's right.
That's absolutely right.
We go to Tampa, Florida. Good morning, Veronica. You're up with Dr. Conaway. Veronica? Going once. I only go once, not twice or three times. Tony's in Toronto, though. International line. Hi, Tony.
Hi. I'm just wondering, I have an older brother that has a severe case of no control of his bladder, and he's also got a severe case of dementia or Alzheimer's. Is there something you could recommend for that?
You know, it's interesting when we talk about Alzheimer's and dementia. One of the important things to know is the impact that an unhealthy digestive system has on brain function and neurological function. There's a lot of research out there now around what we call the gut-brain axis. And one of the things that we know is a major contributor to Alzheimer's and dementia and things like that is the messages that the brain is getting from the gut. And by that I mean if your digestive system is healthy, if you've got a good balance of healthy bacteria versus the unhealthy bacteria, then when your foods are processed, those foods will be processed, and what will leave your digestive system and ultimately go to your brain are good, healthy nutrients that are going to nourish the brain. But if instead you've got a digestive system that's full of unhealthy bacteria, they process foods much differently. And what leaves the digestive system and goes to the brain in that situation is toxins. And so then the brain cannot function like it's supposed to. You have to understand that the vagus nerve is a nerve that travels from the brain to the digestive system and back again. It's a bi-directional pathway. So things that are happening in the brain, we have understood for years the gut-brain connection from the standpoint of you get butterflies in your stomach if you speak in front of a public room or something like that. We know those things. If you're going to take an exam, your stomach's tied up in knots. Those are the kinds of things we have always understood. But now we are further understanding that the gut microbiome and those healthy bacteria in the gut impact brain function in a major way. And so normally what I make sure I do for anyone who has issues like that is we get them on the 90 nutrients, which of course are the most important part of the package, but I also put them on that special program to help to reestablish that good, healthy gut bacteria and help to make the balance correct and help to make it be what it's supposed to be. Then those messages that leave the digestive system and go to the brain are healthier messages, and the brain does not continue to get garbled messages. Lots of good research around the gut-brain axis and how children are so impacted, autism, ADD, ADHD, the link from the brain to the gut and back again, a bi-directional pathway. Pretty impressive information, but that's where I would start with someone. They need to get the 90 nutrients, but they also need to fix their digestive system. And that's where that special program comes into play.
It is amazing how what you eat determines your health in many aspects, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And if what you're eating is impacting that gut bacteria, then that's going to impact every other system in your body.
We go now to Frank in Michigan. Whereabouts in Michigan are you, Frank?
Right between Kalamazoo and Battle Creek.
Ah, know it well. Cereal town.
Yes, sir.
All right, go ahead.
Well, my question, I have two questions, but I'll start with the first one.
Sure.
Is there anything that kind of covers every area? I mean, it seems like I could take so many supplements and this covers that, this covers that. Is there one thing I can take that would be good as a general thing other than just like a multivitamin?
Well, that's why we always recommend the 90 nutrients. We know the 90 nutrients in the pack that we provide are going to be the nutrients that the body needs.
Covers the bases, doesn't it?
It does. It covers the bases. And so many people will go out and they will get a vitamin D and they'll recognize that selenium is healthy. So they'll go out and they'll get some selenium. And we call it fractionated nutrition. The important thing to understand is with the products that we have, the body will use what it needs and will excrete the rest. The blend of these products together give the body what we know the body needs. Dr. Wallach's research has shown us that we need 90 nutrients. Those 90 nutrients are the vitamins, the minerals, the trace minerals, the essential amino acids, and the essential fatty acids. When you flood your system with those 90 nutrients, that's what it takes to cover the bases.
We go back to you, Frank, for your second question. Go ahead.
Sure. What's your opinion of vitamin C? I've been taking it for about 8 years now. I've only been sick, I think, one time since I've been taking it on a daily basis, and then also like for cancer treatments, people that have cancer.
How many milligrams do you take a day, Frank?
I think that's about 1,000 a day, George. And then on in the wintertime, I go up to 2,000. I double my dose during the winter months.
Now, I've always been told, Joanne, that the body will excrete what it doesn't need.
As long as what you're getting is a whole food source nutrient. If you're getting a synthetic form of any of the vitamins that are out there, that synthetic form does not act the same way, and you can overdose on a synthetic form. But if it's a whole food source, then you cannot overdose on it. Your body will use what it needs and excrete the rest, and that's the beauty of the products that we have. Your body uses what it needs and will excrete the rest.
Can you get kidney stones if you take too much vitamin C?
normally I would say no, only because if you're taking a lot of vitamin C, but you're taking all the other 90 nutrients in addition to that, your body is going to help to regulate that vitamin C. But again, the important thing to know is, and especially with vitamin C, it's fascinating because vitamin C is one of those that the body needs and must have. And there was a study done several years ago. It was interesting. It was elderly people who realized that vitamin C was a good antioxidant. It was going to help to prevent cardiovascular disease. So they started to take large doses of vitamin C. The problem is, if you're taking vitamin C and it's a form of vitamin C that does not have the cofactors to make it work, the body recognizes it as vitamin C, but what it needs is copper as a cofactor. So these people who were taking this vitamin C, they actually were getting the copper from the vascular system, which is the most readily available source of copper in the body, to make sure that that vitamin C was actually synthesized and worked in the body. The unfortunate thing was they were creating cardiovascular issues by making a deficiency symptom associated with that copper because they took the vitamin C that did not have the cofactors. The body used it by pulling the copper out of the vascular system, and they, in fact, ended up creating the problems they were trying to prevent. Vitamin C is one of those things that people can take a lot of. People can find that they're sensitive to vitamin C, in as much as taking too much vitamin C can cause them to have diarrhea. But a lot of people take a lot of vitamin C. The problem with it, once again, you take too much of it, and you take too much of it without the cofactors that make it work normally in the body, and you can get yourself into problems.
First-time caller, Lexi in Lufkin, Texas. Hey, Lexi, good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. I just had a question about Dr. Conaway's recommendations for supplements, vitamins, other interventions for anxiety and depression, and also if what she thinks about the hereditary link to depression, if that's valid.
Dr. John Gray was on with me earlier and highly recommends the supplement lithium orotate. What do you think of that?
Well, I think lithium is very important. Lithium is in our products because we need lithium. But I'm going to get back to that gut-brain access.
All right.
When we talk about depression, there is much more to do with the gut-brain access than heredity or any other thing. And again, it's the impact that the digestive system has on the messages that get sent to the brain. Depression is one of the big things that many, many people deal with. And unfortunately, it goes misdiagnosed a lot of times. People don't realize that that's the diagnosis. And the other thing that's unfortunate is when the diagnosis is recognized, doctors don't hesitate a minute to start passing out those pharmaceuticals that unfortunately can lead to mass shootings and the other horrific things that can happen. So I speak specifically to the gut-brain access whenever I deal with someone with depression. I put them on the 90 nutrients because we know that there is lithium in the minerals and trace minerals. It is a colloidal form of the lithium that the body does need. And I also make sure that we work on cleaning up the digestive system, cleaning up the diet, and maintaining that good, healthy gut microbiome. I've helped a lot of people with depression. It's an issue that is a serious issue. It's a serious concern for many people, and I'm happy to say that I've helped many people get through it.
And you think most depression is caused by a deficiency?
Well, I think it's twofold. I think it's a deficiency, but I think it's also that impact of the unhealthy diet and the imbalance of good, healthy gut bacteria. You know, when you look at the gut-brain axis and you look at the list of symptoms that are associated with gut-brain axis, they start out being things like depression, anxiety, brain fog, those kinds of things, but they can all go all the way up to schizophrenia, obsessive-compulsive disorder. All of those things are linked to an unhealthy gut feeding garbage, if you will, to the brain, making the brain unhealthy.
George in Denver, Colorado. Let's squeeze you in, George. Go ahead.
Good morning, George. And I think I also want to, for your doctor, I have a question about bags under your eyes. I also have a comment and a statement, if I could take both of them. I have bags under my eyes, and I looked under a medical book there at the health store, and it said that I'm producing too much sodium.
All right, bags under the eyes. We only have a minute left, unfortunately. Go ahead, Doc.
Okay, definitely bags under the eyes can be an allergic-type reaction. It can be your body's inability to process foods properly. We know that that has everything in the world to do with the gut, the digestive system once again. And what I normally tell people is if you have bags under the eyes, and especially if you have darkening under the eyes, consider that it could, in fact, be an allergic-type reaction. We call it allergic shiners if there's dark circles under the eyes. But unfortunately for most people, bags under the eyes can be problematic because of the way it looks. What I recommend is the 90 nutrients, fix the gut, clean up the diet, those things. But the other thing that I know that works for many people is slicing a fresh organic cucumber and putting that cucumber on your eyes for a period of about 10 minutes first thing in the morning. And that will oftentimes help. It helps to shrink up those tissues, and it helps to remove the bags under your eyes. But a lot of times it can also be because of the way your body is processing fluids, and that gets right back to the lack of nutrition, the nutritional deficiencies that we help with those 90 essential nutrients.
All right. Thank you again. We'll see you in a couple months. Dr. Joanne Conaway, criticalhealthnews.com, 1-855-949-7234.